There are some people on this earth who are lower than low. Child abusers, traitors, people who swindle the elderly out of their life savings. Imagine all three rolled into one. You meet this scum of the earth man. What do you say? What do you do? Hi, I'm Bernie Diamond. It's great to be back with you again. Today we're going to look at the amazing love of Jesus from a different perspective. And please do stick with me, because at the end of today's message, I'll be telling you about our latest life application booklet called Shouldn't It Be Easier Than This? I'd love to send you a free copy, because living life as a disciple of Jesus Christ, well, it's not always easy to do, is it? There are some people on this planet that can best be described as, well, it's not a nice term, but I'll use it anyway, the scum of the earth. These are people who so abuse others, whether physically or emotionally or mentally. They so abuse others, they just, well, in our human estimation, don't deserve to live. The man who sexually abuses a child. Now, child abuse, particularly in the church, is becoming such a frequently reported thing in the news that we can become desensitized to it. It washes past us with all the other misery that goes on in the news. So we disengage. But imagine that it's your child that's been abused. Imagine it's your mother whose meager life savings have been stolen by some con man. Imagine it's your house that's been burned down by an arsonist. You know, that sort of thing is the absolute lowest of low. And in our human judgment, those people are bottom dwellers. They're the scum of the earth. Now imagine a traitor in a war, someone who betrays his own people. The list goes on. And most of us have a line that we draw and say, you know, I know that I should forgive that rapist or that child molester or that traitor or that extortionist, but he doesn't deserve to draw air anymore on this earth. And so today I thought it would be really amazing as we spend another day at the office with Jesus to see how this Jesus, the Son of God, dealt with one of these bottom dwellers, one of these scum of the earth type people. Today, we're going to meet a tax collector called Levi. Now, we spoke briefly about Levi the other week, but today we're going to get right into his story because, well, it's an amazing story. Now, I know that paying taxes is not our favourite thing to do. I remember a really high-profile Australian businessman called Kerry Packer, one of the richest men in the country. He's dead now, but a few years ago, he was hauled up in front of a Senate committee because of his allegedly aggressive tax minimisation strategies. He was a man with a big heart, but a pretty gruff and tough exterior. He was known for calling a spade a spade. And when one of the senators asked him a question, he answered something along the following lines. He said, "Lady, I pay all the tax that I'm legally obliged to and not 1 cent more because, frankly, I don't like the way you folks spend it." It made some pretty good television, I have to tell you. And I guess we all relate to that a bit. I love the way he put it. But most of us understand that if we're going to have schools and hospitals and a police force and essential infrastructure and all those things that are absolutely necessary for a country and a society, well, someone has to pay for it, and that's us through our taxes. But imagine a set of circumstances where the taxation system is completely and utterly corrupt, where your country has been invaded and taken over by another world power, a bunch of foreigners with totally different values and religion and culture, and it's a brutal occupation of the land. They rob the people blind through the taxes and cart money off to another country. And worse still, the way they collect taxes is by taking some amongst your own people, allowing them to bid on the right to collect taxes, and then turning a blind eye to their extortionate behaviour in collecting those taxes and tolls. Now, that would be utterly delightful, wouldn't it? As if paying taxes to a foreign occupying power weren't bad enough, now you have to do it through a crooked criminal who is no less than a traitor to his own people. There is a bottom dweller, this tax collector. Complete scum of the earth, don't you think? Well, that was Levi. That's exactly who he is. That's exactly what everyone else, all the other Jews, thought about him. So let's take a look at Jesus' response to meeting Levi. Luke chapter 5, beginning at verse 27. After this, Jesus went out and saw a tax collector named Levi sitting at the tax booth, and he said to Levi, "Follow me." And so Levi got up, left everything, and followed Jesus. Then Levi gave a great banquet for Jesus in his house, and there was a large crowd of tax collectors and others sitting at the table with them. Now, the Pharisees and the Sadducees were complaining to his disciples, saying, "Why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners?" Jesus answered, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I have come to call not the righteous, but the sinners to repentance." Now, if you were with us yesterday on the program, you'll have heard me talk briefly about how rabbis, teachers of the law, religious leaders, managed to get their disciples. A rabbi would become a scribe, a leader, like a leader of a church. And people would look around and decide, you know, if I could become one of Rabbi so-and-so's disciples, well, that'd be good. The prestige, the business contacts, the opportunities for our kids. And so people would then go to apply. The more prestigious and well-known the scribe, the harder it was to become one of his disciples. Now, sure, Jesus was pretty unconventional. He wasn't building himself a mega church with 2,000 vehicle car parks. He was itinerant, travelling around Galilee and then Jerusalem, preaching and teaching and healing. But he clearly had the potential to have an amazing gathering of disciples. And so what was expected ultimately, even though at 30-something he was a bit young, was that he'd conform to the norm and that given he had megastar status, drawing huge crowds, people would apply to join and become his disciples. But here again, he walks up to this bottom dweller, this scum of the earth guy, Levi, and says, "Follow me." And such an impact does this radical calling have on this outcast Levi that not only does he throw a massive party for Jesus, but he leaves everything, just like the fisherman we looked at the other day. He leaves everything, his lucrative business of extortion, to follow Jesus. Later on in the book of Romans, the Apostle Paul writes in Romans chapter 2, verse 4, "Or do you despise the riches of God's kindness and forbearance and patience? Don't you realize that God's kindness is meant to lead you to repentance?" And that's exactly what happened to Levi. Jesus' kindness leads to his repentance. It turns his whole life around, completely and utterly. And the religious leaders, the separatists who lived in cloistered, closed, legalistic, pharisaical cult communities — Pharisee comes from the word parash, which means to separate — their idea was that if you separated yourself from the world, if you kept away from these sinners, well, you wouldn't get infected by their sin. So imagine how horrified they are at Jesus wading in amongst the muck and the stench of this scum, these tax collectors. It's totally different. And what was his answer to them, these oh-so-pure, oh-so-holier-than-thou religious nuts? "Well, I didn't come to heal the healthy ones, just the sick ones. I came for people just like Levi and his mates. These are the people who need their lives turned around." You see how radical Jesus is, how awesome. He didn't come for Mr. or Mrs. Super Christian, those people we know we could never be as good as. Friend, he came for you and me, the Levites of this world, us. And when the healing's underway, he doesn't call us to cloister ourselves off into these pure little religious communities that can't help but be blind to the hurt and the need, that can't help but get so caught up in their religion that they completely, completely miss the point. His call is for us to wander out into the muck, to take the healing, to take Jesus, to take the love of God to those who are sick, completely and utterly radical. You see how different Jesus is from religion? Religion is what the Pharisees did. Jesus went to the scum of the earth. Following Jesus isn't always such an easy thing to do. Sometimes we lose heart, and sometimes we're even tempted to give up. It's all just too hard. That's why I'd love to send you a free copy of our latest life application booklet. It's called "Shouldn't It Be Easier Than This?" And it's full of life-changing, practical Bible teaching to help you absolutely thrive in a rich, dynamic, powerful relationship with Jesus. In fact, at the end of each chapter, there are some life application questions to help you think through and apply God's Word right into the realities of your life. To request your free copy, stop by our mobile-friendly website, ChristianityWorks.com. You'll see that free offer right there toward the top of the homepage. Click on it, pop in your name and email, and that e-booklet will be winging its way to your inbox in just seconds. Again, that web address is ChristianityWorks.com. Thanks so much for joining me. I'm Bernie Diamond, and I'll catch you again the same time tomorrow with a different perspective.